What was the transition saying coming from LA and then back to London? Like 2 nights ago, you man were like last night, you and your GLE living life. You know,
living life.
I'm sure you man had like your floral shirts on and them things.
This guy had bare floral shirts. This guy had bare.
And then you're back in London, Heathrow Airport. You're going through border
mad.
Control.
It's mad. Yeah, you know what it is. You're back home, though.
You're back home.
But to be fair, though, home is just like where your people are, though.
Yeah.
I don't feel any like intrinsic. Like connection to London like that. To be fair, I might just be saying that now though, because I just come back from LA. You get me? Give me another month here. I might be like, oh, I love this place. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. But living out there, fam, is just different. Like even knowing you're driving, you're playing songs in the car.
It's a different feeling.
It feels different. Yeah.
Different feeling.
You know what I mean?
When there's like palm trees and just palm trees thing, is mad, fam.
Yeah.
There's just palm trees everywhere, bruv. And certain spots, there's just bare different variations in them. Big branches, tall, slim, and you're just driving, you're just looking around, you're thinking, what?
Myself and Enoch, we went to Texas for 2.5 weeks, like last year, I remember one time, it wasn't like we were doing anything, we were just going to the shop, but like, it was our second week there, and we were like locals, like shorts, sandals, and everything, just there, I live here now.
Like, obviously, so I was driving in when we were in LA, so imagine, I drove from Las Vegas back to LA, that's 4.5 hours, bro.
Yeah.
You get me? You're just driving. Mm. So when I got back from Vegas, when I'm driving on the normal roads now, it's just calm.
Yeah.
I just feel like this is all right. I was thinking, when I get back to ends, I hope I still know how to drive properly in ends, bro.
Yeah. It was automatic, innit?
It was auto, It was auto, fam. No way. The manual out there? But I'll be shocked if anyone drives manual out there.
Yeah.
Because the way the roads are.
Their
highway is just a straight road, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was no exits until we were actually coming off back into LA.
When we were coming from the airport, how the road was just a straight road.
Yeah, fam. Mm-hmm. It's just straight. Even driving from Vegas back to LA, it's just a straight road, fam.
And I kept saying that while we were doing it, I just need to change my reality. While you're out there, fam, your head is thinking,
I need to be here forever.
Need to
pattern it on
coming back here again is like me. I love London still. Like me, even on the way here, like I was just looking at it thinking, as I'm walking, I think, okay, yeah, like,
London, you're back home, you're home, you're on home turf.
At the same time, I'm thinking, yo, like this.
Let's get into that really, because to be honest, like you lot are doing LA trip and going like acting abroad, and these times you've got a production coming up next week. So Jamala. So let's talk about that. Like, so obviously, you know, maybe to introduce yourselves first. Like, you know, go ahead.
Oh, you've got
a mic. technical difficulties.
So I'm Shea. Mm-hmm. I'm part of a drama group called YIA. Mm-hmm. That's YIA.
Yeah.
So we've been doing this for about 8 years or something like for a long time. We've been doing it for about 8 years. The first 3 years we were sort of just performing in churches, in our church as well. And I think in 2012 we had a show called Identity, in our church, which was just massive. That we packed out the church. You know that?
I can still see the Facebook post. Yeah. It's mad.
It's mad that. You know that New Year's Eve in churches? That there's overflow. That's how the... You get me? So it was massive, man. And we were just shocked by that. I think that after that, we were like, let's really do this.
Was it really like advertised every Sunday? Like Identity in 2 weeks, in 3 weeks?
No, not even.
No?
It's just us that promoted it, you know. That Facebook back then was the popular thing. So it's just all on Facebook. We're in college as well. Yeah. So that was massive. So we done that in 2012. Then we performed the Identity again the following year at another venue in Luton, because they asked us to come and perform it there. Shout out Word of Faith Centre. And then the year after, we're just doing other performances. And 2015, we've done our first actual theatre performance. So that's when we made the transition into an actual theatre company. Mm. And that was Out of the Darkness. We sold that out. The following year, we done Identity in it. The following year, that was, then we done two nights that are 650 seats. We sold that out.
I was at that one.
Yeah. So we sold that out. And shout out Questers Theatre. They showed us so much love. Like, listen, it's hard to get theatres, you know, on board. Hard to get theatres on board, man. It's hard. So shout out Questers Theatre and Ealing. I did a proper professional theatre, so it wasn't like just a stage, a room with a stage. And that.
That's why I saw them Oin boys sitting at the front, bruv. I was like, wow.
When I'm on stage, especially that particular performance that you were talking about, I'm in it, but at the same time, I'm looking around, like, I'm trying to look for people's reactions, I'm looking at the audience and stuff like that. And when you see people that aren't black, and
you
know for sure that I
didn't
invite you. You just came. It's like a whole other sort of people are actually coming in. There's a whole other sort of
introduce yourself, innit?
My name's Emmanuel. Part of obviously YA as well. As Shea said, we've been doing this for a long time, probably since we're like 15, 16.
Yeah.
Now 25 years old. Again, like you said, just taking a transition from performing in churches into theatre. Mm-hmm. Just trying to do a lot more of theatre, pretty much. We dabbled in, we did a web series as well.
I remember that one.
Pretty much just trying to do different things, everything, just trying to put our feet in different waters.
And these men are serious, you know, because like me and Shea went to uni together. We lived together for 3 years. The brotherhood was solidified there, fam. And these guys will be on Skype to all hours of the night talking about, okay, the play and how we're going to work this and everything. And everything is in-house.
Everything is in-house.
So Joy is the writer.
And director
as well. So, like, what do you think drew such a crowd to your first performance? Like, because you guys aren't just an ordinary, like, theatre company. Mm. Like, you've got a lot of Christocentric themes in there and stuff. Christian, and it's Christian-based. Yeah. So why do you feel like, in an age where a lot of people say, young people aren't interested in church and those kind of things. Why do you think your play related to so many people?
I think it's just because of the themes in it and the fact that it was just kind of so real, innit?
Yeah.
Mm. What we want to do is we kind of just want to show just the reality of things, innit? And not trying to, like, paint a perfect sort of picture of people and of Christians and stuff like that. Because obviously we're Christians, but Christians, it just means that, okay, we know that we're flawed. And we now know that we're the Saviour.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we're that's the only difference between us and you. It doesn't mean that we don't still encounter the same issues. Mm-hmm. Have the same problems, and putting it into a play is kind of like you seeing those messages in a different sort of format. Mm-hmm. It's a very open and very, like, unapologetic in when tackling certain issues. So, like, suicide, addiction, sex, just everything that you kind of just go through, really. You don't really see those things kind of played out to you, like on a stage. So it's something a bit different. And I think as well, like, it not being in the church setting as well, for some people that may take away some sort of intimidation, because I guess obviously people have perceptions of Christians because of the way obviously certain Christians are, innit? So you wouldn't even want to step foot in the church. So I remember I did I went away last year for 2 weeks and did like some show in like Oxford.
Okay.
And like a lot of the people were just like white, middle class, and a lot of them were gay as well, innit? So because obviously in theatre there's loads of like stuff. So yeah, that's cool. No problem with me. We can whatever, we're cool. We like around Oxford obviously is very historic and stuff. So we were walking around now and then we've gone into a church and then the gay guy's like, oh my god, I'm gonna burst into flames. He said it as a joke, innit? But me as a Christian, that's not funny. Yeah. That's not funny, fam, because that's where else are you supposed to go? Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they feel as if that they can't even step in those settings, let alone kind of come and watch a program,
a play,
So when it's kind of like taken out of the quote unquote church building, but the church is obviously where the people are, but the quote unquote church building, you feel more comfortable coming to watch a play as in a theater as opposed to you coming to watch a play in the church, just because of those sort of stigmas and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do you think that? Why did you choose that medium? Like, because you guys could do, like, you know, we see a lot of Christian music, like rap and or writing or books or whatever. Why did you decide to do live performance and theatre?
I think it's just something we're passionate about.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I don't think it was something that we actively said, you know, we want to... Well, to be fair, the way we started, it's just like, we just loved it, fam. And I remember it started off internal in church, and we had a fight with like our like youth leaders about that as well. We were pushing, we're like, we want to start something. we want to start something, and that's what this is where our passion is. And I was obviously a bit of a, because we were young, don't so we were actually quite young then. So they were just sort of, there was an in-house fight, and we were saying, no, we want to go out of the church. We want to perform outside. We don't want to just be in these walls, innit? Obviously, that caused a bit of a kerfuffle, but eventually we just, not that we said, no, we're just going to do it anyway, but we sort of came to some sort of agreement that we're going to serve outside, but still somehow serve inside as well. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we even started a younger group called Truth, and they were like meant to be like the younger version of us. Then it just happened that we just joined again. So we just joined up. So now all of them are YIA. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So there's no Truth anymore. So a lot, if you lot came to Identity, half the cast were Truth. Do you get me? So half of those casts were like, they were like in uni or just about to go to uni, which is mad.
I think I remember. What was that play that we came to watch that time?
ID.
ID. And it was, yeah. So I remember seeing a lot of youngers there.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of them were even younger, which is, do you know, I mean, we didn't anticipate that, but
thank
God that's how it panned out. So yeah, man, we just said, you know what, this is something we love doing and we enjoy doing it, so let's just go for it, really.
I got a bone to pick with you, Shay.
A lot of people have grievances with me. I don't know why, bro.
See the play that we went to go and watch last year, yeah? And then man killed his father, bro. Yeah. And then your brother went to jail. Obviously, not you, your character, bro. Okay. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
Man's barely reading the plot. What about them man that ain't watched it, bro? I never watched it, but... Fam, yeah, man, that play, that OTD, Out of the Darkness, is a...
I can relate to that,
you know.
That's, you
know what's mad about that play? Because it was, that's that theatre at its finest, isn't it? And I don't mean to say that in like a, in that it was an excellent play, but in terms of it being conceptual.
It was.
Thank you, man. In terms of that being, it being conceptual,
yeah,
that was really theatre. Do you know what I mean? Whereas our other plays are very much, you can relate to it. Like, it's like, you know, it's from our settings, it's from our backgrounds, whereas OTD was very much like, was very out there, do you know what I mean? So, so
OTD, that was a play that's very kind of like relatable, like everybody can identify with that room, innit? Whatever put you in that room is like, can be anything,
yeah,
like, you know, can just be anything. And again, it's one of those things where when we were going out and kind of like speaking to people to try and get people to come to the play, just saying that, well, okay, anybody could be in this particular room, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
for us, obviously, the way out is Jesus, and we point to the light, and the reality of the play as well is that the fact that somebody ended up staying in there because in real life,
everyone
people actually stay there. Yeah,
and I'm sorry, and that's
you don't find Jesus. Not everyone.
That's nothing about our plays, and I feel like it reflects us. So if you actually meet us as individuals, you'll clock why our plays are the way we are. Because not that we're outcast of Christianity, but a lot of our views don't necessarily align with the typical
mainstream views.
Do you know what I mean? So a lot of our plays, they don't really have a happy ending. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
No, but that's true.
That's true.
You don't really have happy endings, fam. Yeah. Like some of them is like OTD. Someone stayed in the room. Do you get me? They stayed in that sort of place of depression and, you know, like living in their mistakes and not getting over their mistakes and literally just letting that take over because that's the reality, fam. Do you get me? So, yeah, man, that's nothing about our group as well. That if you meet our group as well, us individuals, our writer, like Joy as well, Edward, our director, like, do you get me? You'll sort of see why those themes come through in our plays, man.
How long does it take to put a show together?
Like
rehearsal time from writing to
Joy's been writing this for like over a year, I think.
Okay.
I'm right. She's writing this for over a year.
Jamala specifically.
Jamala. She's writing Jamala for over a year.
So when we're younger, we're just in uni, in college, you can write, you can write six. But now you have work.
You have work,
so you have to do your work.
It's work.
Yeah, man, so balancing the two, especially with Dre writing and stuff like that.
It's crazy.
It's a longer, much, much longer process.
But I'll probably say about, in terms of, if we include the writing, which is the longest period, it's probably like a year, 8 months, six months.
Yeah,
a year, 6 months.
And rehearsing is probably about 2-3 months.
Yeah, like consistently, like fire, sort of like, you know, 3-4 times a week.
Yeah.
You just keep going. And obviously, we do things in between.
Yeah.
You get me? So we've got another what's it, the Melanin Festival?
Yeah,
you get me? We've got a Melanin Festival to perform at as well. What date is that?
On the 4th of August. Yeah, so that's gonna be dope as well. So obviously we're doing, and I'm in that as well.
Yeah, this.
Wow.
You know what I mean? And obviously Dre's writing that, and she's directing this.
You get me?
Just doing, just trying to juggle, just loads of.
How do you manage life?
Fam,
yeah, innit?
You know it is.
How do you
it's the love of it, man.
Yeah,
fam. That's why we're back from LA. That's why we're back from LA, bro. We'd have stayed.
You'd have stayed there, like.
That's why we're back from LA, man. And I guess one thing that we want as well is that we want as many people to see as possible, not so that we bust. Do you get me? Because we've been doing this for so long.
You want a bust as well. You want a bust as well.
You don't want a bust, man, but we've been doing it for so long, yeah. And we were doing it for a period where we weren't busting like that. People are coming, but we weren't charging. There was no peace. But we don't get paid. We don't get paid. That all the money
the piece goes to the venue.
Goes back in. Fan theaters are peas, bro. Theaters are peas, especially like when we first started that. Theaters were saying no because they don't believe you can sell.
Yeah,
and so we almost had to build a rep. That's why I'm so grateful for Questus Theatre in Ealing.
Yeah,
because they're the biggest community theatre in Europe, fam. Do you get me? And they allowed us to act there.
Wow.
So when we sold out Questus. Now we can say, oh, we sold out Questus.
I remember that, man. That was sick.
Fam, then we went back the next year and sold out 650 seats. Mm-hmm. So then you're building up. So now every theatre you go to, you've got the receipts that, fam, we've sold out now so we can go. Yeah. And you just want as many people to come as possible to see your message and see what you guys are talking about. And not to convert no one. Mm-hmm. Not to like, obviously you get converted. Oh, thank God did it. Mm-hmm. But really, we're just trying to start a conversation. Mm-hmm. So start the conversation with you. Sow the seed. Ask questions. Do you get me? Like, I remember after ID, I remember being in the standing on stage and hearing like an arena of tears. I could just, and it's mad on stage that you can hear that, just the sobbing and the crying. And obviously your hope in your mind is that there's just a seed being sown.
I'll be real. I shed a tear. But it was outside though. Outside though.
It's real, man. It's real.
It's real. But you know, outside, innit? So Jamala, tell us a little bit about that.
Who is Jamala? Is that a name? That's a name.
Yeah, that's a name. We've got hashtag Jamala.
Yeah.
That'll be a reveal. I've read it, but like it's for the listeners. The man knows. I know.
So pretty much the plot is pretty much just about kind of like growing up in ends and like the sort of kind of issues that you face growing up in.
Who's
ends.
Ishmael?
Ishmael is the main character.
Who's playing Ishmael?
Dalton.
Okay.
I thought it was you, bruv, because I saw you on there.
Yeah, I'm
Jamala.
Are you Jamala?
I'm Jamala.
You're the ends? Wait, I'm confused.
I'm
for like Jamala. Go on.
Go on.
Yeah, so it's about like growing up in ends, isn't it? The issues that you may face. Majority, like the biggest thing is pretty much like having like a lack of a role model. So it touches upon like single parent homes, gang life, peer pressure.
Growing up in this state.
Pretty much like your surroundings not reflecting exactly where you're from.
Yeah.
And also a big thing in it as well is like police brutality, like the rift between obviously
the community and feds.
But it's based in London.
Based in London. Okay. It's a very ends play.
Erd Estate. You've got Ishmael who's trying to navigate. So like Ishmael's trying to navigate his career basically. So he's got a music career that he wants to pursue, but at the same time, someone's killed in the estate, right? In Erd Estate, so he's basically trying to at war with whether he should leave.
Yeah, yeah.
He's battling whether or not I'm a good youth. I want to look after my mom. I'm a good youth, but my mom's not really making much money.
Right.
What can I do to help my mom?
Yeah.
And he has a brethren called Jermaine, who's like the bad guy, who's me.
Okay.
Some rough youth. Hey, this is a rough youth.
Even though Ishmael's on it.
Still like, yeah.
But Ishmael's more of a calm guy, and he's kind of just doing what he has to do in order to get by, even though he's not really, really like that.
Do you think that's a big like thing in our community, especially the black community, the kind of being in an estate and wanting to leave, kind of thing? Like everyone's trying to get out rather than make it and stay to impact the community. Do you feel like that's
I remember I was in the barbershop, innit? You lot know a barbershop is like the pinnacle of conversation. That's therapy for the black. Is that the black round table? That's where ideas are formed and taken out. You know what I mean? It's crazy. And there was a Jamo man there, and me and him were having some long convo, but it was the whole shop. And his thing was that all these footballers and all these rappers that come from ends make peace and just leave. Do you get me?
And no one actually
reinvests in ends, and the footballers and the rappers and everyone, just successful business people, will say ends is so bad, but what are you doing to change your ends?
I mean, they don't really have to. They don't have to. They should.
Yeah.
But they don't have to.
Yeah, of course.
You can't really tell a man what to do with their money.
But
they should.
I know it is. You know, you say that though. You say that though. But that doesn't really stand anywhere else in life, bruv. You get me? Because you go to companies and there's corporate social responsibility, fam. Mm-hmm. And they're held to a standard. You get me? And of course, they don't have that. And they don't have to per se, because this company has made their money off their own backs. Like, yeah. They've worked hard for the money. Mm-hmm. They've put money into marketing. Mm-hmm. But there's a call for you to impact the people in which are supporting you. Mm-hmm. Do you get me? Yeah, and sure. As a rapper, as a footballer, these are people are supporting you. Mm-hmm. There's a little boy in the hood that struggled to buy your t-shirt, bruv. Mm-hmm. Do you get me? And you're his role model, fam. So you almost do have a call to... fam, help, like, you get me, put something back. You've come from there. Do you get me? This is not somewhere that you don't have a connection with. This is not downtown LA. This is New Cross. This is Deptford.
This is your home.
This is Hackney. This is just where you're from. Do you get me? So there's almost a call for us to help in it. And if we don't help ourselves, bruv, no one's going to help us, man.
I believe that.
We do a lot of stuff that we don't actually know about. I don't know about rappers per se. I can't really talk about rappers because I don't really know, innit?
Yeah.
But I know footballers, they definitely do a lot of, like, charity work. But I don't know if it's, like, specific to where they're from and stuff, but I know the African football is definitely
they do.
I saw something like
they got villages to feed.
Adebayo and them man,
who's
got their brothers? Alex Song's got like
Drogba's got
15 brothers and stuff like
that. Someone else built a hospital as well. I remember Drogba built a hospital as well.
But I don't know, man.
I don't know if they are, but they might be.
Yeah.
Like them people that make music, like Crypto Conan, they're doing.
They're doing stuff, innit?
Stormzy's got that new book publishing.
Yeah, the publishing company.
And you see him doing a few things like charity stuff, like
events and stuff like that.
Some of these things that you don't necessarily.
I think it's better that way as well.
Yeah, it's good that way. Yeah, it's good to know. Yeah,
don't know. Do you know what I mean?
There's a scripture that says like if you give with your right hand,
don't let
your left hand. If you're giving with your right hand, you're letting everybody see that reward that you're getting from everybody. That's your reward.
That's your reward. I hear that.
So, what do you think about the whole Drake's God's Plan thing then, like with the video and that?
Again, things like that I can't really comment on because I don't know the youth's heart. There's only God that can comment on those sort of things. But me personally, I wouldn't do that just because I don't really.
There's no need to.
What do you mean? As in show it?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
But you know what it is though. I feel like there's the essence of encouraging others to do it.
Yeah,
do you get me? There's an element of like encouraging others to give. Like imagine you watching someone's reaction, receiving like money or receiving help. It could encourage you to give. Do you get me? So I feel like obviously things being done in silence is good in terms of your heart.
Yeah.
In terms of. Your heart not wanting you to boast of it, innit? But in terms of you just showing what you're doing, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those ones where you don't actually know. You're only just speculating.
Aye, because
you don't know his heart. It's true.
It's true.
I agree. Yeah, Shay. Like, because Drake is now an influential person, so if he wants people to be giving and people want to, like, if he wants to make change, he's going to be the person to show that, okay, I'm making change. Because a lot of people are actually, like, following him. People are looking at him. People are listening to him. So if he does something like that, he might as well publicize it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? To show others that this is how we could behave or should behave kind of thing.
Definitely.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Again, the heart.
That's all. It's the heart, innit?
It's the heart position.
It's the heart position.
That's what I meant, because you can't even just, like, forget about Drake, just like people in general, like if you don't know somebody's heart behind an action, you know what I mean? So you can only make assumptions. What's an assumption? You can make a calculus, I'm very good at assumptions.
You can make a good one.
That's why, like, you just gotta leave it to, because God knows
you can't be judging jury over them, like,
for real. And it's funny. And the little things that, if I did, like us, I don't have much. the little times that we have, we'll be showing everyone.
Are we even giving?
It's true. Are we even giving, fam? Are we giving? I remember we had a discussion about this in LA. Just about like giving it.
While you're living life, yeah?
While we're living life.
While
living life. But we had
this money could have gone to help someone.
I don't know who I helped in LA. See, this guy, fam, we were eating in the food court, fam. Then one man came up to us, man, he just stood there like for a minute, like he just was looking at everyone's food, fam. Literally staring. He was like, oh, I like that meat.
Oh my god.
We're like, what?
Oh my god.
And obviously, yeah, I'm on the far side, so I'm not near him. So the way man is moving, like, gonna grab their food and put it in his mouth, bro. But yeah, this guy, he gave him his food, did it? God's plan.
Crazy in LA as well, which kind of hit me as well. Mm-hmm. And like, I kept seeing it, fam. So obviously here we see homeless people and stuff.
Yeah.
But out there, yeah, obviously there's it's the same sort of thing, homeless people, whatever. But out there, it's like they're severely like on drugs and stuff like that. You can tell that they're severely like, fam. There was like so on our last night when we were driving back home, there was a guy that was sitting on the bench. He was naked. He's actually just naked, bro. It's a homeless guy.
I'm not laughing. I'm not. It's not even funny.
Like, even when we were driving, I think it was even going to the beach or something. There's a guy that had dreads. He had like a fork in his mouth. He was crossing the road, just doing despair.
Yeah.
Just seeing. I don't know. Again, like the whole lifestyle. Oh yeah, the hills, lovely, beautiful.
Yeah, you still see that.
Still see that crap.
And it's mad because we're driving through LA, and obviously there's two different parts of LA, fam. Do you get me? So wait, and
you didn't go South Central. You stayed in the.
You know, we're meant to go Compton. We're meant to go Compton still, but it's just far from where we were, fam.
Yeah,
it's funny because we had come from where we coming from.
Yeah, it's far, it's far.
So you would have gone Compton in your Mercedes GLE,
inside the car. No, we'd have come out, bro. We'd have come out.
You would have come out.
It was too far from where.
It was too far.
But
it's just an experience, isn't it?
Yeah,
bro.
And then, it's
true. Ends is different there.
Ends is different there.
But Compton, boy, like that's gentrified
now. Ends is gentrified.
But we don't know if it's Compton.
It was funny because I was chatting to a girl from LA. She was like, "No, like it's getting gentrified in LA as well."
Swear.
She was telling me the same thing, fam.
I've heard a lot about that.
It's funny because I was like, same in Ends, how we're getting bare vegan coffee shops and that. She was like, that's not too bad. And I was thinking, so what are you talking about then? Do you get me? Like, what does your gentrified look like if?
Because they've got the vegan and everything
they've
over there already. So that's
like,
already.
They take away our chicken and chip shops and giving us veggie burger shops. But it's like, I was like, fam, that's what ours look like. Do you get me? Like, have you not been Deptford near the station, fam?
Yeah.
It's gone, fam. Area's gone. There's no coming back. Bro, no coming back.
I'm not afraid of Deptford anymore,
fam.
You know?
You know what it is as well?
I'm still afraid of changing, though.
I'm a fan of gentrification, though, you know? I can't lie. So long as you don't remove the people, I'm a fan.
You removed it. I feel that you removed
the people.
I know,
but think about it.
Do you know why I don't agree being gentrification here? I feel that it's a lot of rich kids acting poor, fam.
Yeah.
A lot of rich kids acting poor.
Yeah,
like you're coming from your wealthy background to an area
that
because you come there, you're driving up the prices, fam.
Yeah. That's when you see Alexander, Edward, and Bartholomew at Peckham, fam, Peckham rooftops.
You're actually, fam, you're actually selling a burger in Ends. You're selling a burger in Ends, that's £10, bro.
Yep.
When chicken and chip shop is $1.99, like you're doing things that like you're just driving up prices, and we're like, calm down. It's funny because you see them wearing
they look poor.
All these, and
but they're not.
It's funny because they're taking street culture.
Yes, they are.
You know
the
dirty Converses and that, the ripped jeans and that, ripped jackets. Like, all they're doing.
With trousers that don't
fit. All they're doing is that they're just assimilating a culture that they've come into. But fam, you could, and initially the way this stuff came around because people couldn't afford. Obviously, it's fashion now, but initially people couldn't afford clothes that. Like,
Umbro,
we baggy jumpers in school because it's because our parents couldn't. Fam, there's a jumper your sister or your brother's wore.
Has worn.
You're wearing that jumper
now
as well. Do you get me?
Now
so there's an element of fam. We didn't have peas like that, you know.
Yep.
And now the areas. I remember my sister works for Housing Association. She was telling me about Arsbury the other, literally this morning. I don't know if she's going to get sacked because she sends me personal information. But she was telling me that Arsbury, down the road from Arsbury Estate, you know Arsbury Estate, near Burgess Park in Peckham, that big estate.
Yeah.
So they're knocking those down. Down the road from there, they're building apartments, innit? So a three bed is $500k.
Oh, get out of here.
A three bed is $500k. Near Aylesbury, brother. You're not mad.
That's mad.
Do you get me? But obviously what they're doing is that they took everyone out of Aylesbury and they're relocating people.
Yeah.
They're putting them in Milton Keynes.
They're putting them in Milton Keynes,
Dartford.
And this is, and obviously I'm not saying that gentrification is the cause of, the main cause of it. But it's a contributing factor, fam.
Social cleansing, man.
Social cleansing. That's what it is, man.
Right, it makes me rethink.
So.
Go back to what I said about LA. When we was in LA, it was something that seen it a lot, and they were heavily on drugs. You know what I mean? Heavy. Like, you can tell that this person is like, it's Pete.
Fam, aren't you lot hot, bruv?
I'm boiling in it, bro.
I'm calm.
It's very warm.
I'll be sweating like crazy, bro.
It's the cider as well, to be honest.
I don't know if this shirt is clean. It's
fine. You just came back from LA. It's cool.
It's all right. All the money gone.
So where did you lot know that you wanted to start acting? And is this, like, because to me, sounds like this acting thing is how you, where you want to go career-wise. So tell us a little bit about it.
But so when we started,
when did you think, all right, this is what I want to do? Like, who inspired you? Who?
I think it's like, I wouldn't say that I had an inspiration when it came to the acting thing, to be fair. I feel like when we done our first show in 2012, where like the church was just packed with young people coming to watch us, I feel that it made me realize that, whoa, like, this thing that we've been doing for the past 3 years that we've just been enjoying
ministry.
Is something that's actually, it's ministry, fam. It's something that people are coming to. Some people are enjoying, some people want to come and see. And that just opened my eyes to be like, rah, okay, like, this is serious. And I feel like from there, I was like, yeah, man, let's go full throttle with it. Do you get me? Let's sort of push to it. And when we saw people just take to it, I feel like for me, it made me realise that this is a real thing. So this is not just something that we're just doing for the sake of it anymore. For a long time, we're just doing it because we enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You get me? There was nothing greed. There was no real, like, we enjoyed it, you know? Yeah. So we done it.
Who's trying to be the Black James Bond here?
Probably him.
Do you think we need a Black James Bond?
We don't need one.
Do we need one? We don't need one, man. We don't need one.
I feel like we shouldn't push the agenda for one.
Yeah.
We don't need
one. Why can't we have our own character?
I was joking, by the way.
Luther, innit?
We don't need one.
If it happens, it happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it happens, it happens, man. But
you don't need to push that, man. How are you going to see some Black person just in Russia and killing?
Yeah, why not? Nigerians are in Russia. Nigerians are in Russia.
We are everywhere.
They are everywhere, bro.
Yeah, but we're not out here like MI5 detectives and shit.
Why not?
Actually, you know what? We might be.
How do you know?
Why not?
That uncle that you just see, you don't know.
Driving bus, boy. Driving bus and then in the night. That's a cooler boy.
Where are you going?
Yeah, boy.
I'm bare going to Black James Bond. We'll have a Black James Bond, just make up our own character.
Yeah, we could just have our own. We did Black Panther.
You know what I mean? Yeah, write our own.
As actors, as Christian actors. As actors that are Christian.
Yeah, say that. Please.
Yeah, let me say they're not Christian actors. I don't really subscribe to that.
It's
a very big debate. I don't subscribe.
That's a big debate we had, you know.
You're an actor. That is a Christian.
You know what,
that's
it. I'm a Christian IT professional now.
An IT professional that's a Christian.
I'm a Christian teacher.
But that's a big discussion we had internally, though, because we were like, so what are we?
True.
Are we
your actors?
Because you know what? Both things, they change the dialogue, you know?
Yes, they do completely.
They change the dialogue. So if you're if you say you're a Christian group, then your dialogue should be ultimately focused on that.
Right.
And not like, there shouldn't be undercover themes. Mm. It should be just blatant themes. Do you get me?
Yeah.
Whereas when you're just a Christian who works in a particular field, it allows you to not only explore that field, but also explore your Christianity. Yeah.
Right.
So it's different.
You know what annoys me about that thing as well? Mm. What it does is it kind of like makes it only for Christians.
Correct.
I'm a Christian rap.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not Christian, you don't listen to gospel.
Mm.
Gospel music is just for
Christians.
Whereby the gospel is for everyone.
Sorry as well, as well, well, man spotted a couple of girls. I lost it.
I said, oh my god.
But I remember when that I think this is right, when Tasha Cobbs
did the Nicki Minaj thing.
And that caused controversy.
Ruckus.
And I was like, you know, it is. And for me, okay, what do you lot think about that, actually?
Do you know what? Okay. So basically, Tasha Cobbs had Nicki Minaj on her album,
Who's Tasha Cobbs?
Just set up this discussion.
Have you
heard?
There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain.
Anyway, she's a big Christian artist,
yeah.
And she had Nicki Minaj on her album. Mm. So everybody was up in arms that God show me the way. Whatever she was saying, I don't know what she was saying. But like, everyone was up in arms about it, basically saying, why is Nicki Minaj not ever done a music video? But do you know what? Personally, I don't see anything wrong with it.
There's nothing.
And do you know why I don't see anything wrong with it? Yeah, there's a quote by C.S. Lewis, bruv, where he says, a Christian shoemaker should just be focused on making good shoes. yeah, not making Christian shoes, yeah. And I think as Christians, we get into this thing where we're like, oh, we need to make everything needs to be like Christ-sized. Like we need to put a cross on everything. Yeah, yeah. Like we need to do this, fam. Just make good quality work and do what we need to do.
God will be glorified,
and God will be glorified.
Yeah. Be surprised the sort of people that Jesus used to interact with.
Come on.
You'd be surprised. The sort come of on. Go on. Jesus would be like, oh, yo, well, go on. We're yeah. saying, and mm. chill.
Exactly.
With them.
Exactly. You know I mean? Exactly.
Yeah. Them,
yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Not to just build them, be with them and indulge with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he interacted with the misfits or the things, the people that were looking at him, the same way we're looking at Tasha Cobb saying, why is she doing it? The same exact same way they were saying, why is Jesus with these people?
Yeah.
And
that's
a Christianity can't come too much of a funny like.
I'm not a fan of boxing our faith.
No.
Because go and find a non Christian person that has watched the Mount Zion Ministries film. Go and find them. I beg. I bring them to me. They don't exist.
That's what that Jamala. So I'm going to guess. So if you don't watch Jamala, that's exactly an issue we try to touch as well.
Right.
With Jesus in the woods.
Oh, okay,
you get me?
Okay,
and not
okay.
just,
yeah, because
I'm not just like
light
being,
within the
not
darkness,
be, not being like and, Jesus outside,
and Jesus just you know, a holy, holy figure.
Holy,
and,
holy
you get me? And even with the Tasha Cobbs thing, my thing, yeah, now I first heard people complaining. I was like, fam, so who's allowed to praise God? Who's not?
Yeah,
no Kirk, one.
Do you know what? Get me? Kirk Franklin got it, you know,
who's allowed to praise God?
Kirk Franklin
got it.
Salt and pepper, salt and pepper. He put one of salt and pepper in Revolution. That was time ago,
but no, it's though.
Yeah, so
yeah, but you got fam, people like Kirk Franklin, yeah. Do you know how many doors them man have broke
open
down,
yeah, yeah,
down
yeah, yeah,
bro?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Them man have really been fighting this battle in terms of. I think about how many people know his songs because of that. And not only people who just know his songs, but like his and these songs are not like undercover songs.
Yeah. Mm.
Like you think that if Kirk Franklin didn't do Revolution, they can be blinded by your grace, bro.
The funny thing is, my dad told me this, and I know it's scriptural as well, but I'm just going to paraphrase what he said. He was like, listen, your enemies, are in your household. So, bruv, when you're in church here and you're trying to do something for Christ here, and it's it's not
gonna have
appropriate.
Yeah.
You're gonna have enemies in your own church, bruv. That they're
this
that's
is right.
We don't approve. That's some Pharisee thing, man.
That's right, Pastor Wireless, bro.
Okay, what was the spirit behind when they made it?
Yeah, and you know they'll be dropping. Lucifer was
the angel of
music.
You know,
that's another movie yourself.
Yeah, no, that's.
Arguments that sound so well,
when
you make it down to it's so inconsistent. What was the spirit behind the person who made the food you're eating?
You're chomping down on the McDonald's, saying, "God bless the McDonald's."
Honestly,
bless the McDonald's. That's gonna fill my arteries.
If you have that view, hold it.
With it.
Remember. One of our boys said this. One of our boys said that about some spirit. I said, "Raw, so what?" Because of just the spirit behind that. I said, what about the spirit between your nightclothes of child labour?
Say it again.
Of child labour in India.
Say it again. Or your Primark t-shirt, bro.
What?
Come on. Exactly.
What happens then?
You have to be consistent.
As well is that, if you care so much to have such a big opinion about it, pray for her. If you care about it, you'll pray for it.
No one wants to pray. No one wants to pray. Everyone wants to voice. Everyone wants to voice their opinion.
The Bible says that the fervent prayer of the righteous
avails much.
If you care, you'll pray for it.
Correct.
And for you to be saying you're obviously righteous.
Yeah.
Right. So pray then. Yeah.
Someone
like you.
Yeah.
It's so true. That's the talking too much.
Yeah.
Again, this is why people don't like Christians. This is why people don't come to church. This is why people can't even have a conversation with someone that says a Christian. You're a Christian. Oh, sorry.
Oh, don't drink. Don't have sex.
Quick question. Have we got more cider?
You don't need no more cider.
You don't need.
Cider's done, bro.
Okay, you're right, bro.
Cider's done. It's actually done.
Another one to be.
It's done, fam.
Looking at your cup, still.
Fam, you better take it out of my cup, fam. I backwashed though. You can't back my cup, fam. But no, listen, and remember that Jesus looks like wherever you are.
Jesus
looks homeless. Do you get me? Because Jesus doesn't speak a language. I remember telling my boy this, and it changed the way I read the Bible. I was like, fam, Jesus doesn't speak Hebrew. Jesus doesn't speak Greek. Do you get me? Jesus doesn't speak Old English. So when we're reading the New King James Version, that's not how Jesus sounds right now to us. Jesus sounds the way we hear. That's how because he speaks to those in the way that they understand. He relates to those in the way that they understand. Do you get me?
That's why I
tell parables.
Because
the way he relates to
me,
he relates to someone who speaks tree.
It's
different, man. Because he speaks tree to them. To me, he speaks English. You get me? And not to me, he could speak slang. You get me? To me, he speaks slang, fam. So the way Jesus looks to people, and I feel that again, and to people, that this message could be offensive. Oh, Jesus speaks slang. No, yes, Jesus speaks slang. When there's gospel MCs, Jesus likes grime. Do you get me? Jesus likes grime. Jesus likes this R&B. Jesus, fam, you get me? So I feel that we need to just, when we're talking to non-Christians and just talking to Christians as well, man, we need to just be honest with how Christianity is and not be scared of, I don't know, man, just updating the image of Christ. Or, you get me?
The way I like to see it, like...
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Sorry, just before, because I need to do that. So in given what you just said, why did you think it was important to talk about God loving the mandem? Because I know you've used that in your promotional video. Why was that statement important?
Fam, you know, because that's the reality, fam. Do you get me? Like, God actually does love the mandem. God loves the hood. God loves the people in the hood. You get me? God loves these people who are marginalized by society, fam. God loves them. And often, like, I don't know now, I feel like there's a lot of, and I don't know whether you have experienced this, but a lot of black people are moving away to, like, you know, like black Israelites and, you know, more sort of like black religions. You get me? And the reason they're doing this is because mainstream Christianity has ostracized them and has pushed them away. Do you get me? So they don't feel like they're, like, it's for them. They haven't made feel like it's for them, fam. The same religion that they're meant to belong to, the same religion that's enslaved them, same religion that's, do you get me? And so I think with us saying God loves the man, then we're saying, nah, listen, this is for you, fam. That God's love is for you. Like, God actually loves you and not God loves just the whole world. Yeah, no, God loves you specifically, whatever your name is. If when you're in the hood, when you're dealing, do you get me? When you got a nank in your pocket, when you're thinking of you're about to burst outwards, fam, God loves you. Do you get me? Fam, big man team. And that's the reality, fam. God actually loves you, innit? So we're trying to portray that message that, listen, God loves the mandem. So stop killing the mandem. And obviously, again, I think I've seen a lot of Christians and a lot of people sort of move away from Christianity because obviously we see a lot of violence happening, a lot of police brutality. And it almost makes you feel like, right, does God care about the hood? Do you get me?
The funny thing is, yeah, I was having that conversation with Michael like earlier, before you lot came. Now, my thing is, yeah, is that with this film, with Amen, in fact.
Amen.
Amen. He's speaking through me while I'm drinking cider. but with this play, my thing is that I've always been, and the guys could tell you, like, I've always been an advocate for church outside of the church and really, like, just trying to push the message to other people because a lot of people aren't going to come to church, you see what I'm saying? And church isn't the building, it's the people. So one of the things that I'm, like, I advocate for and something that I should be doing myself is that we should be communicating the word to people outside the church more, especially us youth, because I feel as if with the old people, it's a bit too late. Them man don't know how to talk to people, really. So I feel as if that, like, for us, like, this is our time and it is our time to be able to communicate the word in how they will understand. Do you see what I'm saying? Because, like, talking about, like, God loves the man them, like, my dad is 62 years old. My dad can't talk to the man them. You see what I mean? But I can.
So
I feel as if, like, I hope that this play is part of a bigger plan to be able to, you know, talk to the man them.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Because they're very ostracized from church. Like, I think generally, like, men, you know, there's more women in church than men generally.
They're looking for wife, for husbands.
Well, yeah. But, like, I think, like, especially if you're doing stuff like that, like, you're selling drugs, whatever. What did he say?
He said they're looking for husbands.
Well, it's true for some of them, boy. Like, if you're doing them kind of things, like road life and whatever, the guilt that can be upon you as a person, like, it will entrap you, so you feel like, okay, I can't even enter that building.
From Mike, do you remember Roxanne? Basically, me and Mike, we lived in the house. Bro,
stating names, you know.
Roxanne, fam. No, we looked after her kids, you know. I remember one time we were leaving the house in the morning, and we were like, She was leaving the house at the same time. She's like, "Where you going?" We said, "Oh, we're going to church." She's like, "Oh, okay." We're like, "You should come." She's like, "No, I'm too bad to come."
Yeah.
And that's, you get me?
Because she had children.
And she was like, "Oh, she's had sex before marriage. She has kids." Imagine, and obviously, that's a real view, fam. That's a real view.
Because
reinforce that. Yep.
And they'll be looking at her like,
Not even uncles.
You know the ones, they got flowers in their hats, they're the dangerous ones. They'll be talking all
fam,
the time.
That's why for everything bad some people have to say about Hillsong and all them. this is why they're growing, fam, because they're preaching to people that, listen, that come as you are, it, fam.
Yeah.
Just come
it's
as you true. Are. So yeah. true. You get me? And I endorse that message so much.
100%. I completely
agree. Sorry, Mark.
People start saying
no, I interrupt you, but you're saying that's the point.
No, you literally hit it on the head, really, because I think, like, it's important for us as Christians to go out to these ostracized groups because that's exactly what Jesus did.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even recall Jesus going, oh, come to my synagogue, please. Like, I beg you, come to my synagogue or whatever, come to my church. Like,
there's this
it was
church
about
event.
Being equipped and going out. Do you know what I mean? And
yeah.
If you can go
taking
out, like, I even think about scriptures where Paul talks about, like, making the faith attractive to people. So, if it's going to be through theater, if it's going to be through music, if it's going to be through writing, like C.S. Lewis, yeah, man wrote Chronicles of Narnia, one of the biggest films ever. Man's a Christian, and there are themes in it, you know, Aslan is like, is Jesus,
and he
know,
didn't
like
set
that.
Out to write a Christian
and he didn't
book.
Set
out
read, to do
I read a devotional about him,
okay,
and he didn't set out to write a Christian play. He was just writing, and this is what came, and that's fair,
and it naturally flows out of him.
Do you get me? But that's not the only thing he's written. Do you get me? Like, the person who wrote Lord of the Rings was a Christian as well.
Yeah, they were boys. Right,
they were boys, man. He was Christian as well.
C.S. Lewis.
Don't send your children Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings and Chronicles of Narnia.
C.S. Lewis did Narnia, innit? I was watching the end.
Please don't shout names. He's not pastor anymore.
I'll give honor.
I didn't say what church though.
Pastor Dent, it could be any church, boy.
It could be
any church.
Can I say the
church? Any church on Old Kevin? Any church on Old Kevin?
I was watching the end of, I think, the latest Narnia, yeah? And Aslan, the little girl was talking to Aslan. You know, be quiet. I'm talking. So the little girl was talking to Aslan, yeah? She's like, oh, I'm gonna miss you. Da, da, da. And it's like, don't worry, I'll always be watching. Da, da, da. And obviously, like, knowing that you told me about C.S. Lewis and everything, I was like, right, so let me see the connections. And then it was like, and she was like, wait, how? And he was like, oh, where you're from, I go by a different name. And I would like for you to know me by that name there or something. He said something along the lines of, like, I go by a different name and I want you to get to know me. And he was like, he's not there. But he wants her to get to know him when she gets home. And the fact is, I think in the first Narnia, obviously Aslan sacrificed himself.
And where do they go? They go into the prayer closet, blood. They go into the prayer closet to find the Narnia thing.
There's much.
The film splits. The thing, and it's split in two.
And it's split in two.
Narnia's one of
Listen. Listen.
One of them has dropped off.
Listen.
We got about a ticket, you know.
Yeah, have you ain't bought your tickets yet, bro? You know it's mad, though.
I watch you on my podcast, but I ain't buying no tickets.
A lot of people ain't bought the tickets, fam. I don't understand.
But that is black people. Okay, we're not just getting black people.
Buy them on the day.
Huh? Go on.
I want you lot not to be able to get tickets.
God forbid. My seat is reserved.
My ticket is reserved.
My sister ain't bought a ticket.
You know, sit backstage and watch. I'm buying a ticket today.
You know that one?
To be fair,
I can't buy for you. I ain't got peace like that. I'm gonna say,
you're on the dead ones, yeah. Hey. I'm gonna send the broadcast out today as well. I'm gonna remind you lot.
Listen, we'll buy them on the day. I'll buy it an hour before I head out. So
what we're saying is Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah?
So the 26th, 27th, 28th.
Which one do you lot feel you're gonna have the most vim in?
Saturday,
I feel like first night is always. Yeah.
So hard to tell.
Because
you could do the second show and you'd be like, oh, mad. Because audiences are different.
Audience, fam, that's what I'm going to say. It just depends. Because I remember our last show, we done two nights. When we done 3, 2, 5 each night. The first crowd, they were very intellect. Like, they got every single, like, little theme we tried to touch because you felt them react. Saturday's crowd, them man were just act that. They will shout things out, like, they'll be active, laughing. It was just a different crowd, fam. So it's not that any day is different, but if every day brings a different vibe, depending on who comes.
You get me? When you're on stage, you're fully aware of that.
You're fully aware.
Like, say for example, like, there's a joke that you're about to say.
Yeah.
You're thinking crap, and then everyone's in hysterics, or there's parts that are serious and they start laughing, you're thinking, this is a serious part of them,
you have to take that extra pause just to bring it back down to the
acting boy. Michael, you're acting. What are you saying? Actually,
I am, Michael. You know what? If you lot are doing another play, let me know when it.
You know what thing that bring you into this one?
Is it?
Yeah.
You see, I told you.
You think what bring
you?
Yeah. I used to act, man. I still act.
Oh, you said that, sir.
Yeah.
But you know, is that Ed asked me? I said, fine, Michael's just bare busy. Yeah. I was like, Michael's actually bare busy. Get hold of Michael. No, think about putting you into this one as well.
You know what? Like, honestly.
Yeah.
The next.
Are you sure, man?
I'm down. I'm actually fully down. Like,
Can I be in it?
Down.
Whoa. No, seriously, it's funny still. That's funny, man.
Acting is a funny thing, yeah, because it's one of the ones where like. I remember, so I did acting school, and then I went identity for a season.
How old were you
then? I went while I was working full time, you know. So I was 23, I think. Yeah. And then I actually went when I was 16, but then I dropped out because JD were paying money, so I was like, I can't manage it. But like,
that's what they say about chasing money. You see?
This is what I'm
that's
saying.
That's what they say about chasing
because
money,
like, you ain't getting paid for it now.
Yeah.
But in the long term, God willing,
yeah,
you return. Like,
fam, God willing.
All I'm saying, yeah, when you red carpet things and that, you know,
you're toy. Are you not thinking about going into screenplays? I know you've done the web series already.
Yeah. You know what it is? Well. That stuff always crosses my mind, bro.
That's YA or us as individuals?
Both.
Yeah, that stuff always crosses my mind. You get me? But I feel like, I love acting, but what I love more is what we show through our acting.
Come on.
Do you get me? Yeah. So this is where my passion actually lies, fam. My passion lies in the message behind what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So not to say that I do love acting, but I love the message even more. Do you get me?
Yeah, got you.
I definitely want to get into screen now, man. It's mad, man. Mm. It's just mad, fam. And it's one of the things where you spoke before when you were talking about like, what kind of inspired you. So with us here, it's a thing about us. So obviously, we love what we're doing. We love acting. But we're doing it like within our group and stuff like that. Like you said, when you were 16, you were going to Identity. Mm-hmm. When I was 16, I loved acting. I was acting with these lot. Mm-hmm. And we were performing shows. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I wasn't thinking, oh, shoot, let me go out and let me do this and da-da-da-da, because I was able to do it within my group. And we're able to do that over a long time.
We're doing it.
Mm. And then it got to a point whereby I was thinking, yo, my man's doing this, and I know him.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, bro, he's sick. Definitely. Love the fact he's doing it, bro.
I could do that as well.
It's mad. It could be me.
I was thinking, crap. Mm. And obviously, you're in work now.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, brother,
this can't be
firm. It's mad.
You know, I can flip this table like
I'm literally not doing this. I can't do this. And again, it's just like the love of it, innit?
Yeah.
And it's only until like probably like 21 finishing uni where I'm thinking and I'm looking around and I'm seeing people that I know.
I'm thinking, let's go.
And you know what the maddest thing, literally what you're saying, because the maddest thing for me was John Boyega started the same year that I started Identity.
Mad.
So when you see the trajectory, could be there as well.
But it makes sense though. It makes sense to be like, if you started at the same place, there's always a possibility that you could end that. Obviously, there's a possibility that you might not, but there's also a possibility that you can, fam. Do you get me?
You went to my school, you was a year above me in school.
Okay.
And then, like, there's other man that we know personally, it's like, fam, these men are actually, and that's the sick that
fam, I remember.
You know when you go cinema?
You know when it's close to home as well, you're like, wow.
It just makes
it more attainable. You know when you go cinema, can you actually enjoy the film, or do you actually find yourself analysing me? I analyse, you know.
I do.
That's me.
Yeah. You know when you're in the cinema,
you act out the scene.
Like,
I'm not there yet.
I'll be watching. I'm seeing myself like in it.
You know what film I watched? And I said, I should be in it.
Which one?
Kingsman.
Oh,
I said,
the Cockney you.
Yeah, I said, listen, I should be in this film.
Yeah,
and I should be in this film, bro. Mm. Do you get me? I belong there. I watched it, and I was thinking, I can do this. I was watching it. I can do this.
Yeah, it's a movie. It's close.
As well, yeah. So, like, let's say, for example, like John doing Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine being on set. Yeah, you're actually in the desert. You're actually wearing the suit, the flipping the suit.
The suit and that. Yeah.
Like, it's proper real. Like, it's mad. You're actually in it. So imagine like being in Game of Thrones.
Mm.
You're like actually acting in Game of Thrones.
Mm.
You've got a sword. Like, you're on a horse.
Yeah.
It's mad still.
That's long.
That's where we
want to
be at.
That's the aim.
At the same time, theatre is so much different from
from
screen. Because screen is like, fam, you could do like a mad scene, mad emotion, like how you do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, the adrenaline is crazy, fam. It takes you through still.
So is it best to go from theatre into movies?
That's what people say, you know.
Because Tom Holland did that with Spider-Man, innit?
Okay.
Yeah, so he was doing Billy Elliot.
Oh, right. Again, as well, don't get twisted as well. So we're very big that what we do is black theatre.
Yeah.
Not to say that it's for black people, but in terms of what we do, it's black stories. It's black theatre, which is not it's not a mainstream thing. Yeah, I mean, obviously, we see a few more like sort of black films that, you know, that Baba Sega and his wife, like, that's come out in the National Theatre. Yeah, that's in the National Theatre. Shout out, Inyal Williams as well for Barbershop Chronicles.
Barbershop Chronicles is so bad, boy.
Yeah, if I, fam, he comes to our church as well.
Does he come to our church as well, man?
Fam, it's mad, fam. It's mad still. So he comes to our church as well, man. Shout him out as well, Barbershop Chronicles. So we're seeing black stories being told more, innit?
Nice.
And what we're trying to tell is, again, black stories on a mainstream level, fam.
They don't know what it's like, if you see what I'm saying. So you see, I said I went to Oxford. A lot of them had watched Barbershop, and they were like, oh my God. A lot of the jokes that were very specific to, like blacks and like Africans and stuff like that, but they loved it because it was like it's intrigue, innit? Because you don't actually know, you don't actually see our story.
It's real, you don't see it.
Like
we know
about Bob and Charlie and Lisa and
Cat and Alfie. You know, like, as like, obviously, you were saying, the message is the thing that you really like,
are
passionate about and enjoy. Yeah, let's talk naked scenes as an actor. As a Christian actor, sex scenes. We've had this conversation at uni.
Would you do it?
Sometimes there's certain sex scenes are like, fam, why are you actually doing that?
Yeah.
So like, insecure, they needed
power.
The power one with Lala and the guy.
Nah, that was a madness. Power does not make any sense, fam.
Power, man.
The scenes don't make sense.
Just doing that for the sexual. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Very sexy. You as an individual, as you're doing it, obviously, you know, like, it's very much, okay, do this.
Put your hand here. Stop.
Again, you got to go off of your own individual convictions.
Yeah.
So me, personally, I don't, like, do, like, a mad sexy. For me, it's like, why? Like, why does it have to be?
To be honest, all that has to happen, viewers, isn't it?
People like to watch it.
Angela's flat, yeah. And we know Wagwan. We don't need.
Yeah, we know Wagwan.
Why? Just have a violent with it as well, man.
Sex is a reality.
But this is what I'm saying. It happens in life. I've got to right.
If you was to do like a film in the Bible, it would be bare sex.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Certain man.
Yeah.
Pure sex. Yeah. Pure. Any of them.
Man. Someone had like 70 things.
Yeah, pure sex.
700.
The way it's portrayed, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
The way it's put out is very like, you're doing it just for the sake of like that man that wants to pause it on a certain scene, right? Do you know what I mean? That's what they're doing.
But it's a reality.
Again, though, you see, Denzel don't do sex scenes.
Who?
Denzel.
He doesn't do sex scenes.
He doesn't do kissing either, does he?
Yeah.
He doesn't kiss his wife in that film.
With Viola Davis.
Yeah, Viola Davis.
I don't know about kissing, but he don't do sex scenes. I know that for a fact. That what he does, you just see him in the bed naked, or you'll see him about to. He don't do sex scenes. But obviously, one could argue that he's Denzel. You get me? So I don't really know whether he's had this or carried it through his whole career.
Yeah.
Do you get me?
You know, the thing is, for me, the sex scenes, I look at it like you just said, like Denzel would just be chilling there, like on the bed. But you know what is going on.
You know what happened. Yeah. You know what happened, or you know what's going to happen.
I almost like, and I know people can poke holes in this, but when there's a scene where I'm killing someone or murdering someone, why don't you have a problem?
Why don't you have the same issue?
You'll happily go and watch
James Bond kill Bear Man.
Yeah.
Why is it being done? Does it make sense with the story? Does it make sense with the character? Probably would. See me saying from that. My mom is always like,
Even when I was in the house party,
and you watch House Party.
Yes.
I still haven't watched that, you know. Yeah. I have to watch that.
Come on, you man are playing it, fam.
You man are playing it, fam.
I didn't do nothing. I was just supposed to be a playboy.
But she's supportive of your acting career.
My mom is different, though, man.
Come on, go on.
Last 2016, 2017, what year was it? Basically.
So 17, they 17, you were working.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
did you quit your job?
Yeah. So I was contracting.
Okay.
And they've renewed my contract now. Innit?
Okay.
So I was like, you know what? This is long, man.
So we like to talk to people that quit their jobs on this podcast, by the way. So yeah, just for my benefit.
I'm very much the sort of person whereby if my heart isn't in it, I'm not doing it.
Okay.
You know, like whenever I hear somebody saying, "Oh, they don't like this, they don't like this," bro, you can do something about it.
Yeah.
Whether or not you do something about it means that there's going to be a lot more difficulty or whatever. You can still do something
about it. Of course.
And you never get the difficulty and stuff like that when it happens. So me. Yes, I was contracting. It's come to the end of my contract, and that contract. But I was doing
it
was night shift. It was like a PPI project.
Crap
training. You have training at like 3 a.m. in the morning.
My brethren did that.
My stuff. So it'll be like, let's say for example, there's one person here between 30 people that know what to do, and that one person is being dragged here and there and there and there. You're giving you your cases. You're coming back red. You got to do it again. Fam, it got to a point whereby I clocked that they didn't check how many cases you submit. So when he was asking me how many kids I saw, I was like, yeah, three. Brother, I definitely didn't do any. But you know what I mean? It got to a point whereby like I was sleeping and I was waking up thinking of cases. I said, no, that's it, I can't do this. You know what I mean? So for me it was acting, and I had another idea that I was like really like pursuing. I was like, at the time I sat my girlfriend down at the time and I sat my mum and my sister down and I said, yo, look, this is what I'm trying to do.
Women. I'm seeing Wakanda. I'm seeing Wakanda, bro. You know the women.
Wakanda.
Yeah.
I want to pursue this idea. What are you not saying?
Yeah.
My girlfriend at the time, she said, you know what? Cool. That is what you want to do. What's the pattern? What's the plan?
Here we go. Hold on. Michael, go.
It's fine. I'm just going to contain myself. My mom is very like, give it to God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's literally what she gave me, innit? And during that period of the year whereby it's like, okay, I thought I was going to do this is going to bring in peace. And I'm a photographer as well. So my plan was, okay, cool. So I'm going to be doing shooting. So I'm going to shoot. And then the peas I get from the shooting,
you can now
do this. I'm going to put it on here. I signed up to Universal Extras. I was like, yeah, you're going to get a better job.
Nothing.
Nothing. You know what I mean? It wasn't like how I thought it would be at all. So it just caused me to just be a lot more proactive. Navigate life in just a different way. Luckily for me, I ran into one of my other friends who's an actor, and he gave me like some, it was like a, I don't know, some application for some like residential thing away in Oxford.
Sick.
So during this year, again, obviously we're doing some of our stuff as well. So I'm doing that, and I had the opportunity to do that as well. So I went away to Oxford for 3 weeks, which was a mad experience for me, and it was comedy theatre. Everybody that was there was literally from like, you know when like their parents are saying, okay, yeah, you're gonna play 3 instruments. You're going to be an actor, you're going to be a ballet.
Yep.
Me, and I'm there.
Yeah.
In the midst of these people. Just doing so many different things that I would never have done. Like, if like these lot saw what I was doing in Oxford, lot saw my sketch that I did in Oxford, these lot would have thought,
so much more
experience in learning, getting to meet different new people, whatever. And the house party came about as well. I said, you know what? It's an opportunity for me to. So again, like, just wanting to get agents and stuff, innit? So wanting to actually have screen work to show.
Yes.
It's difficult to get people
to build up your reel, like a reel,
it's difficult for people to watch. So I was thinking, all right, how am I going to do this? They're cool, I've got a camera, maybe I could do my own thing. And again, just trying to think of different ideas to do, planning different things that I could do. House party came along, I ended up getting house party, and it was sick. I was like, oh yeah, sick. I'm meeting other new people. First experience on the set, like just hearing certain words, sounds weird, all of that stuff.
You don't hear the stuff. Real. The technical stuff.
Exactly. So it was another opportunity to do that as well. Then pretty much just while I was at house party, actually, I got an interview for a job.
Okay.
Obviously, peas is running. Hella low throughout this time. So it's literally God that got me through that year, innit? That year, I probably earned, like, made by myself, like, £600 a year. Probably made that boss like only £600 in a year, and I still have the bills to pay. I still got support at home. I still got to go out and travel. You see what I'm saying? So it was peak. But again, for me,
They say hold on to Jesus. Yeah,
right, you know what? Your whole body,
I'm holding. It's mad. Certain things happened to me was mad. So like, so obviously doing photography, that was my only
source of income.
Universal Extras, it wasn't. I didn't hear nothing from them at all. So one of my brothers one time, he's like, oh yeah, I got something for you. You went out to Nando's and gave you something. Like, fam, what's this? Like, oh, it's a freedom pass. So that means that I can now travel wherever I want in London for free. which is, fam, I probably had £50 in my account at the time, and I needed to get to places to do stuff.
Yeah.
Even like doing stuff for free. So much stuff. So much. My mum was throughout. Even like she'd come in my room and she'd just encourage me to be like, cool, this is the story of your birth. Like, this means that. Do you get what I mean? You're supposed to do this. Fam, my mum, hey.
That's it.
I love you, mum. Big. That's big.
Yeah, so end of November, I ended up. End of November, we finished house, but I ended up getting contracted again.
Okay.
But where I'm at now is as if like God has put me there because, again, like I said, if I'm not in it, if my heart isn't in it, you can't be asking me where so and so because I don't care.
Real.
Where I'm at now is very, very good, loving environment. Mm-hmm. It's like a, it's a Ghanaian bank even.
Oh wow!
It's like your work, your aunties and your uncles.
That's nice. Thank God. Ghanaian, I love Ghanaians. You know,
lovely.
I love Nigerians.
But again, now getting back into work, I'm working now.
Yeah.
But bro, I still wanna do this.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Act. I still wanna be do shows. I still wanna do all of this sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So again, navigating the two is another sort of difficulty you're having to juggle at the same time.
Right. Mm. So for the young actor out there, maybe just graduated, you'd done university and everything, would your advice be work and act on the side?
Mm.
Is that what you would say? Like, given
so even me getting back into work now is only so I can support at home, not because of me personally.
Okay.
Because if it was for me personally,
you'd still be.
I'd still be out here trying to do.
Yeah.
But I think I'm probably the worst person to ask for that.
Why?
Yeah, this guy's a rat, bro. This guy's a rat.
You're do or die. Like,
no, it is though. With that question, I remember I had like a family member who, I remember we were. Time ago we were talking, I was in first year and he was in college and he was asking me, not share, man, I wanna do theatre studies in uni.
Mm-hmm.
And do theatre and drama studies, like, but obviously it was like my parents are gonna start gassing. Like, should I just do something else for the sake of it? And I was like, listen, fam, do what you feel you're called to do. Like, do what you feel you're actually your where your heart lies. And almost like to an extent, and I say this very lightly, but like even your foolish desires, fam, the ones that you feel are just foolish, fam, pursue, fam. Do you get me? Pursue, because you don't know why you have those desires. And even if you don't get to A, you get me? There may be a reason why you have the passion of A, and that may lead you to A.1. Do you get me? Which then leads you to A.2. Then gets you to A.4, which where you're meant to be, fam. Do you get me?
Yeah.
So I was like to him, no, just pursue it. And what he's doing now, I don't want to say his name, but you all heard of him.
Is it a
child? Yeah. You know who it is.
The fact that he actually had to start himself, so you lot obviously as being actors and what you were saying about quitting your job, the acting world, a lot of it, you have to have a lot of self-belief.
And
belief in God that you're going to get to the point. Sure. Like, you can't be half-hearted. When
I was in Oxford as well, they were talking about like just a lot of rejection because there's a lot of people that were there that's like, I've been in this. But the main sort of directors and like the managers and stuff like that, they brought in there was a casting director from BBC that came.
Sick.
And we did like an exercise with him, gave us feedback or whatever. And one of the main things they were talking about is just kind of like being able to take hand of rejection and not allow it to knock you back. And taking it personal. Because like, say for example, like you get a call to do a casting, it already means you're on a certain level. So the fact that you're in that room alone, it just means that you're on stuff, if you weren't, you're a real one. You may not have had it for that particular role.
And it might not be because of your skill.
Exactly.
It might just be your look.
If
I'm looking for a blonde woman and a brunette comes in, I want blonde.
Like the of your voice, maybe.
Come on. That's literally that.
We're just talking about like being able to kind of take rejection. Seeing things like, Kaede, like Tom Mucci as well, seeing them be able to kind of like, do their own thing, and their own thing allowing them
and he wrote
and doing all of those things, and then because of what they've done and put out, now it's like, okay, yeah, cool.
Why can't we do the same thing?
You know what I mean?
Definitely, man. And again, that, and even as YIA, as a theatre group, it's not that we haven't got attention from people. Do you get me? So people have seen us, like people have come to watch our shows and told us that we're good. That we've got a bit of attention from the Young Vic. Do you get me?
So
people are seeing, but I feel like people, you don't always see who's watching you.
You
get me?
That's why you don't know.
You don't know who's just literally watching.
And it could be one person.
One person. Like, not to.
What is it called? Destiny Matcher or whatever you call it. Destiny Helper.
Hey, my mum's been praying for
Destiny Helper, boy.
Not even to change the discussion to that marriage and that, but I talk to people who
they're like, oh, like, I haven't met anyone yet. Who am I going to meet? I'm not going out. I'm like, fam, not all you need to meet is one person.
One.
It's just that one person, fam. It could be anywhere, fam. It could be at the petrol station. It could be on the bus. It could be at your friend's bar. Fam, it's just that one person. Do you get me? So you just got to keep doing what you're doing. Do you get me? And just keep praying and having faith that, you get me, God will take you to where you need to be. Do you know what I mean? Amen. So, fam, Jamala.
This is very encouraging, boy. Jamala, bruv. Fam. So, so where can people get tickets?
Is
that your phone?
Silence it. Oh, it's yours.
Mine's always on silent.
I come into sort of these rooms, I always make sure my phone's on silent still.
Sorry,
because
my bad.
It's just
my phone's forever on silent, you know.
But how do you get tickets? So it's going to the Albany Theatre. Website is in Deptford, so it's local for a lot of people. Listeners might be international.
I was actually thinking of that theatre when you guys were talking about theatres, you know.
Well, Albany.
Yeah.
Albany's expensive, though.
I heard it is. It's quite nice, though.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice theatre, man. So we're thankful that we were able to do it. So, yeah, Albany Theatre, that website in Deptford, you're free to get your tickets there.
Yeah.
YA on Twitter, I think it's _YA. On Instagram.
Follow you on Twitter, _Y.
Yeah, then Instagram is what? Yahweh in Action. It's in our bio, man. So, yeah, sorry, YIA stands for Yahweh in Action.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that at the beginning.
Yahweh in Action. Yahweh in Action, say that. Yeah, so before it was Youth in Action.
I remember.
Yeah, it's called Truth. Yeah, Truth in Action. So we're Youth in Action. And obviously we changed it because we were like, we're not gonna be youth forever, fam. Yeah, 25. Are we really youth?
Yeah, we're really youth.
Obviously, YA is like, so it's literally from about, there's people who are 19 in there, people who are 25, and get me. So it's a wide range of people, and not everyone acts in YA.
Yeah,
some people do lights, some people do costumes, some people do set, some people are just primary, they marketing. Some people are primary. Do you get me? Just so it's a lot of different.
So it's a different function. I heard in this play we've got a bit of dancing going on, or there's a bit of movement.
There's a bit of movement still. To be fair though, there's a bit of movement in the most of our plays. We try and add like music and try to add like themes. So even our last play, like I remember I was playing, fam, that was my. I had to play Jamaican dad, didn't it?
Yeah.
So even then, we tried to put in, you get me? So we always tried to play themes. So even music, we play love and affection. Like, we tried to put in themes, that like black storytelling. That's what we're trying to do, man. So yeah, this one as well, there's a bit of music in there as well, man. A bit of movement.
Live. I need to get my ticket. I'm going to buy my ticket.
That's it.
Should buy it now. You know, yeah, pay. I have to put it on the Amex, boy, the credit card, because the way things are set up.
Like, everyone get your tickets, man. Come and see. Come and enjoy,
well, thank you for coming to join us, lads.
I love, man.
YIA in the building. It's the point.
Peace.
All right.